Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
To the Euros now, where a goal in the eighth minute of injury time provided salvation for Italy, but left Croatia devastated because they're facing an almost certain exit. Now, later today, France, the Netherlands and England are all in action. And though England have already qualified, persistent criticism from their domestic press has led to doubts about their chances later in the tournament. Well, let's get the very latest. I'm joined now from Germany by sports writer with the42.ie, Gavin Cooney. Hello, Gavin.
Claire, how are things?
Good. How are you getting on so far?
Good. You don't want me, and your listeners don't want me to hear me complain about how bad the German train service is, so I won't bore your listeners with that.
Well, but I don't know whether we'd be bored by that, Gavin, because we would have expected that the German train system would be impeccable.
This is what, it's been a national kind of national event and kind of the shattering of myths. The Deutsche Bahn service, Germany stopped investing in it sometime around the 1980s. So as a result, it's a crumbling system. And sadly, it's not really managed the weight of the number of people it's needed to ferry from one ground to another. So generally speaking, if your train arrives 2 or 3 hours late, you're doing pretty well. It's just been, Deutsche Bahn is kind of Deutsche Bahn Jack at the moment.
Right.
And I think it's tough for the Germans here to listen to all of our whinging and complaining. But look, things are slowly improving and we shouldn't complain too much given we've got ringside seats at what has been a fantastic tournament so far.
Well, listen, it's getting really interesting now. And let's talk about that Croatia-Italy match, because Croatia went ahead in the 55th minute. Great jubilation amongst the Croatian fans. And then you had the 8 minutes added on and Italy strike back just in the dying moments. Now, the first question I have for you is, were 8 minutes of extra time justified? Because the Croatian manager said if it was any of the big teams, it wouldn't have been 8 minutes. It would have been 4 minutes or five max.
It did seem slightly excessive, and we haven't had that amount of injury time generally at these games of the Euros, whereas we did, say, at the FIFA World Cup back in December 2022. There had been a lengthy VAR check, a somewhat lengthy VAR check for a penalty that was given to Croatia that Luka Modric missed and then redeemed himself almost seconds later by scoring the opening goal. So it did seem slightly excessive, and it was ultimately what had killed Croatia in the tournament, wasn't it? They conceded a late goal against Albania in round two, and then that heartbreaker from Italy last night. Brilliant finish to send the Italian bench and their squad into kind of wild scenes of jubilation, to give them a reprieve and send them through into the last 16. Because otherwise they're facing a very anxious wait to see how the rest of the tournament played out, to see if they will be ranked among the best third place sides to qualify. So Italy, the defending champions, don't have to worry about that for now. They're into the last 16. Do they look like defending their crown? You can't say that they do, to be honest. And for Croatia and the aforementioned Modric, it's quite a sad end to the tournament. It's likely his final appearance at a major tournament. And to see him, he'd been substituted a few minutes before that goal went in, to see him ashen-faced on the bench and then have to collect his Man of the Match trophy in something approaching floods of tears.
I saw
it was
the
actually
picture.
A little bit poignant.
It was a devastating photograph of him holding the Player of the Match award, and he clearly had been crying, you know, and understandably so.
Yeah, oh no, absolutely. And there was a relatively nice moment in the post-match press conference because the Man of the Match has to come in and do media duties, and I'm sure Luka Modric would rather have been anywhere else on the planet at that point. But one journalist didn't ask a question really, but just said, look, you've been one of the great players, keep playing and thank you, which I suppose is a nice moment. I thought it was a little bit subservient on the journalist's part, but however,
well,
I suppose it was nice.
Yeah, I think it is a moment though for him, as you say, because he won't be back. And they are in, as I read in the Times this morning, in purgatory now, because they know they're gone, but they can't leave. They can't get on the plane because there's some bizarre sort of results, an academic result which could allow them through, but it's very unlikely.
Very unlikely, yeah. So there's six groups. Among the six teams that finished third in those groups, the four with the best result over the tournament so far will progress. So there is an outside chance that Croatia's 2 points will be enough, but they would need a freak run of results for that to happen. But they do have to hang around in case it will happen. Obviously, I was talking to Scotland fans who would have been in a similar situation had they avoided defeat against Hungary on Sunday night. I think the Scottish fans would only have been delighted to hang around for another few days. But for the players, it's fairly horrible. You know, you're hanging around for another couple of days. You want to go on holidays with your family, but you have to hang on and wait and see.
Yeah.
And then how do you get yourself in the frame of mind to play, even if the highly improbable happens and you qualify? But look, all signs are that Croatia will be eliminated.
Listen, on the other side of this then, on the teams that are going forward, Spain are looking pretty good now, aren't they?
Spain look terrific. I got to say, they've topped their group 3 wins out of 3 and they're yet to concede a goal. They swatted aside Albania last night, and that was their second string team that played. They're thrilling, you know, and they're led by these two electric young wingers in Nico Williams and Lamine Yamal. Yamal is only 16. He's had to bring homework with him to the tournament because he's in his final year of mandatory schooling, and he looks a superstar in waiting, and the waiting might be over by the end of the tournament. Spain have been brilliant, but they're on a collision course with Germany in what would be a heavyweight quarterfinal, and on the early evidence of this tournament, it would be a fitting final in Berlin at the end of it all. But they'll meet in the quarterfinal, and you'd have to say the winner of that might find themselves as favourites of the tournament.
Now, we need to talk about England, but I don't quite know where to start because there are so many storylines coming from what's happening with that team. So, will we start with Declan Rice, actually, because he talked about, you know, the players all coming together, finding this new energy, the management being open to a new style of play, and they're going, he sounded like the manager.
Yeah, he did. But he also contradicted his manager then, Declan Rice, in saying that, you know, he was critical of, you know, because Gareth Southgate, the manager, had said after the 1-1 draw with Denmark that England are not fit enough to play the way he wants to play and press the way he wants to press.
Bizarre, saying they're not in the physical condition to try and win back possession high up in the pitch. What a thing to say about your players.
I know, it's basically Gareth Southgate basically saying these guys can't play as I want them to play. What am I meant to do here? And it also falls apart when you look at the likes of Bernardo Silva and Bruno Fernandes in the Portugal team who have played just the same amount of football as England players, and they're able to press, and those guys have to do extra work because Cristiano Ronaldo's on the pitch strolling around. So it doesn't really hold up, and there's just, you know, like you say, like the team, like two of the worst games of the tournament so far, Claire, have been England's games. But even when the team is boring, England are never boring.
Yes.
And now they're kind of fending off criticism from all quarters. The England players seem very stung by words from Gary Lineker, who has his own podcast now and is turning into some kind of Howard Stern style shock jock in describing England's performance as a word that I can't commit to morning radio in Ireland, unfortunately.
Right.
But England players very annoyed by it, saying, Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer and these guys should know how tough it is to be an England player at these tournaments, and they should be supportive of us, which of course is nonsense. I mean, Lineker and Shearer have a duty to their viewers on the BBC. They're not meant to be England fans. They're meant to call it as they see it. And Gary Lineker's description of England's performance against Denmark was entirely apt and accurate. It would be wrong for him to describe it in any other terms. So it's very interesting to see how sensitive England are around the criticism. And if this is what they're worried about, Claire, if this is what they're fixated on rather than improving their level of performance, well, they're going to head home fairly soon.
Yeah, it's just interesting how Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer can really get under their skin, you know, and they keep facing questions about what they're saying. But I suppose when you have former players criticising your performance, you've got to expect that that's going to happen, that it's going to be put to you in those press conferences.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Gary Lineker did stoke the ire of some of the journalists asking those questions by saying something along the lines of, like, they don't want to ask their own questions or voice their own criticism, so they just kind of repeat his, and that's why Gary Lineker's name always ends up in the headlines, which has annoyed some of the English journalists here who have in the past shown a magnificent propensity of their own to criticise England players.
Don't tell Harry Kane what I said.
Pretty much. I mean, but like Dima players are obviously stung by it. And it's just, they all seem, yeah, they all, like, just the weight of the England jersey and the pressure on them seems to be really getting to them. And that's one of the more surprising things about this is that, you know, I thought that Gareth Southgate had done a great job in removing all of that because England have had their limitations under Southgate, but they've had a great tournament record, you know, World Cup semi-final, World Cup quarter-final, and the width of a post away from beating Italy in the Euros final last year. So whatever about their limitations, it seemed that they were a proper team that could at least reach their potential in an England jersey where all their predecessors couldn't.
Yeah.
But now it looks like these guys are cursed with the same weighty jersey as the teams as previous England teams have been.
Listen, we know it's not just Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer who are criticising them because James McLean on RTE's coverage said that Declan Rice was not world class and he was overrated. That was last week. But Declan Rice responded to that in great detail at the press conference yesterday, didn't he? And yeah. I think people might be surprised at his response because throughout most of it he was saying how much he liked James.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, James McLean, breakout star of the Euros. I mean, like his punditry on RTE has certainly made its way to Germany. You can see by the number of views on social media and so forth. And for McLean to describe Rice in those terms certainly went against the consensus and public opinion in England. And then McLean must have felt like he hit the jackpot when Rice played as badly as he did in that game against Denmark. And Rice is a very interesting and considered guy, in all fairness. And he gave this very detailed answer in response to McLean's criticisms, saying, well, he was quite conciliatory at the beginning, saying, you know, I know James, he's a good guy, he's had a great career, etc. He's at the end of his career and I'm at the beginning. But then he added just a little kicker right at the end to say that it might be a bit of bitterness towards me on James's part that I'm not playing for Ireland, but I've not got a bad word to say about him. And McLean did say after Rice played three times for Ireland and then cleared off to go play for England. Mm-hmm. Did say that, look, if you're not proud to play for Ireland, sod off.
Yeah,
effectively. And Rice did refer to those comments.
Well,
but,
listen, it makes... Go on.
Sorry, go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, did I have Declan Rice responding to James McLean comments on my Euros bingo card? I did not, but it's been all the better for it.
Well, listen, it whets the appetite for the match tonight and all of them indeed coming up. Well, listen, before I let you go, great excitement about this player for Slovakia, England facing Slovakia later on, Benjamin Sesko, 6'5" and he's 21, originally wanted to be a basketball player. Is he their secret weapon?
Yeah, I think he will. He looks a proper player. I got to say, he's been linked with a big money move to Arsenal. He's at RB Leipzig at the moment, and he's going to stay there for this season. But he'll probably be a Premier League player in a year's time. And he definitely has the goods. He's kind of an Erling Haaland prototype. He's big, he's strong, he's quick, and he can score goals. And he's got a venomous shot on him, so he could trouble England in a way for Slovenia that they weren't troubled by, say, Rasmus Højlund against Denmark or Alexander Mitrovic against Serbia. So he's definitely the player to look out for in the Slovenian team tonight. And while they'll be rank outsiders against England, they could cause an upset. You
Listen,
know, England need
knows.
Only to avoid defeat.
Yeah. Gavin, thank you so much. We'll let you go and catch your next train. That's Gavin Cooney there from the42.ie. And if you want to watch live, it's France versus Poland and the Netherlands versus Austria at 5 o'clock. You can take your pick there. Then England take on Slovenia. Denmark play Serbia at 8 o'clock this evening. Coverage on RTE2 television. And our thanks again to Gavin Cooney joining us from All the Action in Germany.